Good morning, God's peace. First off, I talked to John Nematello the other day. Called him up, and he wanted to be sure to send greetings to everybody. He's doing quite well. He wants to come down here this winter, but he doesn't know if it's going to work out. The kids don't seem to want him to go, but he certainly wants to come back down again. The biggest problem is finding somebody to take care of him while he's here. The family has to make trips down to do it, and so that's kind of a tough thing for them. But Lord willing, he'll be here. I don't know when. Also, I spoke with Ray Stenerson, who not all of you know, but some do, and he said to make sure to send greetings to each and every one of you. So be greeted from them. And then also to Paul from your brother Dave. You haven't been here a couple of Sundays, so I haven't been able to let you know. So we were with him quite a bit, helping him on his house. So for text this morning, or for a text, I'd like to take from the third chapter of Philippians and reading from the first verse through the 14th verse. It's chapter 3 of Philippians, and beginning with verse 1, and reading the words in Jesus' name. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended, of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. The Apostle Paul, in writing this letter to Philippi, recognized that while Philippi was, I guess you might say, one of the stronger churches of all of the ones that were developed during that time, they still had their difficulties. They still had there was a time where they would have a feeling as though that they were maybe a little better. They had a feeling as though their salvation was based upon their works. And they had a feeling as though that they might have been a step above others. And Paul writes this letter to them, telling them of how they're supposed to believe. He says in the first verse, finally, my brother, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, it is not grievous, or is not irksome, or is not troublesome. But for you, it is safe. I don't mind writing these things to you. I don't mind reminding you of where your salvation lies. I don't mind having to take up a pen and write to you the things that you already know and the things that you have already heard. I don't mind doing that. But for you, it is safe. And what he's saying by telling them, for you it is safe, for you it is something that you can grab a hold of. It is a reminder to you of who you are and who you represent. And this is the same message that he's sending us today. It is a reminder of us of who we represent. And that's something that, at least for me, sometimes is forgotten. Going through everyday life and all of the things that go on in life, I tend to sometimes forget of who I represent. Going through life and representing Christ really isn't easy. There are times where it can be rather difficult because of the things that are going on in your physical life. But yet, we are continually reminded whenever we pick up Scripture of who we are. We're reminded of who it was that came so that we could have salvation. He goes on and he says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, and beware of the concision. Dogs back in that day were considered, well, they just weren't the pets that we have today. I don't know that anybody took them and gave them their lottery winnings or had them buried with them when they died. They may have done that, I don't know, but it didn't. According to Scripture, according to the history, dogs were not something that were held in any type of esteem. In fact, in the Old Testament times, when they threw Jezebel out of the window of her house because of what she was trying to do to Elijah, she fell and the dogs ate her. They ate her flesh and lapped up her blood. And this is what dogs were kind of understood to be at that time. They kind of kept the streets clean, if you will. It's not a very nice, pleasant way to look at it, but consequently, they were not well thought of. And that's why he says, beware of the dogs. Beware of the people who were the people who would not treat you well. He says, beware of evil workers and beware of the concision. Beware of those who, when he says evil workers, he's talking about those who are bringing a false message into the church. That hasn't changed today. That has not changed one bit. There are false messages that are constantly being proclaimed unto the church, trying to get people to believe in a certain way. There are people who will look at a person and want to follow them and want to believe in them. And that's not what Scripture teaches. That's not what the Apostle Paul would teach. You do not follow mankind. You follow Christ. That's what you need to do. He says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit or by the Spirit of God and rejoice or glory in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. We are the circumcision. We are the children of God, is what he's saying. In another portion of Scripture, he said that if one is to be circumcised as a offering, then it is considered a mutilation. But if one is circumcised according to God and according to his instruction, then it is for salvation. We are of the circumcision. We are of the ones who our hearts have been circumcised by God, by the Holy Spirit, and we trust and believe in his word and want to teach his word. And we glory in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in our flesh. Truth be known, we don't. It doesn't really matter what we're going through in life. As we're reaching a place in life where there's a difficulty that we are experiencing, something that we just cannot find the answer to, something that we know we need to have that answer. We know we need to have it in some cases maybe to save a life or in some cases to get something finished that will benefit others. And we just can't quite seem to lay our hand on what it is that needs to be done. Where do you turn? Where do I turn? You turn to God and you turn to him in prayer. You turn to him and say, and ask him that, Lord, I need help here. And he will help you. Sometimes it comes in a mysterious way. Sometimes it comes a little in a strange way. But we have no confidence in our flesh. When it comes right down to it, when it comes right down to the nitty-gritty, if you will, there's no confidence there. Yeah, there's things that we have learned through school, there's things that we have learned through life, if you will, and things that we have understood. But truth be known, we trust in Christ. We don't trust in the flesh. When things get tough, Christ is where we turn. That is where we find our strength. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And now he goes on to talk about what he was like. Apostle Paul was considered a Pharisee of the Pharisee. I mean, he was right at the top. His whole purpose at that time was to kill off Christianity, because he recognized, or thought he recognized, that Christianity, or that Christ was coming to undo the law of the church, the Jewish law. And he would not stand for that. He would not have anything to do with that. He says he was circumcised on the eighth day, which was according to God's instruction. He was the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. He was perfect. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He considered himself blameless. He was there was not a portion of the law that he did not fulfill. And he considered himself to be the perfect one. But then in verse 7 he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Because when he was called at that time, walking upon that road, and it's hard for us to even imagine, other than, if you have ever heard the voice of the Holy Spirit in your life calling you to do a specific deed, or calling you to remind you of a specific thing that needs to take place, that would give you a glimmer of what it is that the Apostle Paul felt on that road to Emmaus. Or Emmaus, I guess is how they say it. But could you imagine walking along that road, or some say riding a horse, it doesn't matter, not important. But the point is that all of a sudden everything goes white, and he's totally blinded, and he falls to his knees. That alone is a position that he was probably not really accustomed to. Because of who he was and who he represented, there were others around him that respected him. But he had to fall to his knees on that road. And he understood and recognized immediately who it was that that was talking to him. And isn't that the way it is? When Christ calls us, there's no guesswork. Well, I think maybe he might. No. You know. When that Holy Spirit calls you, there's no guessing about what it was. There's no thinking maybe or what if. You know. And Paul knew. And Paul knew what it was who had called him. And he says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. The excellency of the knowledge of him. Not having even known him or talked to him or anything else, but just knowing who he was and knowing who it was that he represented. That was the excellency. To account that to be excellent. And he says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. He suffered it all. Everything that he had up at that point, when he was called, was taken away. And then he says, I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. In another translation, it says, I count them as nothing. I don't even consider them anymore, because I lost them all so that I may win Christ. And isn't that the way it is for us even when we come into faith? Everything we had is no longer important. Everything we had is put aside so that we may worship Christ and praise Him and thank Him for the blessings that He has given us. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness. Immediately he recognized there was nothing of himself that was righteous, which is of the law, and that's how he recognized it. His righteousness was of the law. It was not of grace. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's all there is. We can do and we can go out and we can perform and we can just jump through hoops and over hurdles and do all kinds of things and have all kinds of praises heaped upon us. But if we do not have faith in Christ, we have nothing. The same as the Apostle Paul. I can imagine there were many, many people that congratulated him for the things that he did to the church. There are many people who looked upon him with reverence. There are many people that just worship, all but worshipped him. And yet without the faith in Christ, he had nothing. And we have nothing without the faith in Christ. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death. He wants to know him. He wants to know who Christ is. And he wants to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. He wants to go through all of these things. He wants to be a part of them and being made conformable to his death, that by any means I might attain unto the resurrection. Now here's, listen to this part of it. In the King James Version, it says, I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. But in another translation, it says that I might attain unto the resurrection from the dead. There's a difference there. And not to say that all of this is wrong that is written here, but what I'm trying to say is that in the translation of that was done, there are two different Greek terms that can be used in this particular instance. If you use the Greek term to say the resurrection of the dead, that is a generic term that the Greeks used. And it was used pretty much consistently. But when you use the Greek term that means from the dead, it takes on a whole new meaning. Let me read in Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. And there is a difference. Got to make these fingers work. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now that could be referring to Apostle Paul, because that's Apostle Paul fit that. He did not worship anything but Christ. But in verse 5 it says, but the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. In verse 4, he saw on the thrones, and they that sat upon them, the judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. They were separate from those who did not worship. They were separate from those who did not follow Christ. But the rest of the dead lived not again, did not live again, until the 1,000 years was finished. This was the first resurrection. Verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, which is in verse 4. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The first resurrection. Those who believe and trust in God. I'm not going to try to explain what those verses mean. I'm not going to try to explain about the 1,000 years and so on. I'm not going to go there. But what I'm trying to say is that the Apostle Paul wanted to be resurrected from the dead, not of the dead. He did not want to be a part of all of those who had died before, both good and bad. He wanted to be a part of the good ones, if I could put it in just those terms. And there was a difference. And there is a difference, as we see what Scripture says. And Paul understood that. In verse 12, he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, or I press on, if that I may apprehend, or if I may lay hold on that for which also I am apprehended, or on that which I have laid a hold on, Jesus Christ. I follow after him. I follow after him so that I can look to him for my strength. Not as though I had already attained, either was already perfect. I'm not perfect. I haven't attained any of this, but I follow after Christ so that I might attain it, and that I might be a part of that first resurrection. Then he says in the end of our text, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, or I count not myself yet to have laid a hold of this. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He's forgetting about all that stuff that he went through, all of the things that he had gone through before, all of the things that he had done to the church, all of the perfectness that people viewed him to be. He's forgetting all of that. All that is just put aside. It's gone. It's behind him. What does he do? He says, I press toward the mark, or I press toward the goal, unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I continue on that path that would lead to my salvation. It's not that he wasn't saved already. It wasn't that he wasn't already a part of God's kingdom, or that he was that he wasn't God's servant. That's not what he's saying. But he says, I press towards that mark. I press towards that time when God will reveal himself unto me, and that I may be with him forever. And isn't that what we all want to have? Isn't that what we all want to be, or where we want to be? It's a little hard at times. There's times where things that happen or things that go on in this life kind of make us forget. And yet God has ways of reminding us. And he has ways of keeping us. And he has ways of putting us in our place. It's happened to me. I'm sure it's happened. We all have our own stories. One of my favorite songs is I Love to Tell the Story. I would love to tell the story of Jesus. But there's no other friend as good as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. That's our Savior does. He cares for us. And even though we stumble and fall, even though we forget, even though we sometimes don't even think of him through our everyday life, he continues to be there, and he continues to call. And that's not to say we are to ignore him. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is that God's love for us is so complete, pure, and holy that he does not forget. And he continues to walk with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, we now ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.